Amen? Well, God's good. Got your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I can't say enough about Friday night. We had our annual. We do it every year. Valentine's steak dinner. This year, we used the passage Sydney read, 1 John 4. Love one another. We call it the Love One Another Church Family Steak Dinner and Friday night. And those of you who were able to join us, was it not a blessing? Amen? Man, we had a great time. The food was absolutely wonderful. We played some bingo. And then we had the, what do you call that, Robbie? What do we call it? Not So Newlywed Game. And it was a Tim and Marianne Esco won it. It was it was a big challenge. Nobody saw that coming, yeah. It was, there's a lot of things you didn't see coming, Carl. So anyway, I didn't want to bring that up, but since you said it, anyway. But it was great. Appreciate it. Those that work so hard, we've had a team come up and decorate. Man, the fellowship hall looked great. And Bonnie and her team cooked some incredible food. We had great steaks. The men cooked steaks. And so we'll do that again. I was telling somebody this morning, we could have that same menu again next year. It wouldn't bother me at all. That was great. Anyway, it's a great time of fellowship. Your Bible's open to John chapter 10. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's going to take me probably 3 weeks to work through John chapter 10, because obviously if you keep up, if John's one of your favorite Gospels or is your favorite Gospel, you might remember before you even get there that John 10 is where Jesus talks about Himself being the Good Shepherd. He says in John's Gospel, okay, let's just paraphrase, in John's Gospel, by the way, in John's Gospel was the last one written, okay? Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all written 25 years before John wrote his Gospel. But in John chapter 10, John's going to include a couple of statements where Jesus is affirming His deity, okay? Now, there's seven statements, and I've done this many, many times. I've been here many years. Hopefully you've heard me talk about this at some point, because I've talked about it several times. John records Jesus as saying, "I am," which are the Old Testament equivalent when God revealed Himself to Abraham, tell him, "I am," you know, and so the burning bush. Anyway, Moses, Abraham, he reveals himself as the I Am. Jesus says He's the I Am. And there's seven of those in John's Gospel. So, see if I can remember them. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And He's claiming this is what He is, okay? If you want to know something about Christ, He makes seven statements about His character. So, the first one is in John 6, following the feeding of the 5,000. He says, "I am." Ego e me is in Greek. Ego e me. I am the bread of life. Now think about that. Our sustenance in life, we want to feed on Him. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you will be satisfied." So He's the bread of life. Then in John 8, after the Jews had celebrated a feast, and there was a big candle lit in Jerusalem that lit the whole city, Jesus stands up and proclaims, "I'm not just the light for the Jews. I am the light of the what? The world. I am ego e me. I am the phos, the photo. I am the light of the world." The third one and the fourth one are found right here in John chapter 10. He says two things. "I'm the door, and I am the only way you can go in and out." Okay? Of the Father's presence. I am the only door of the sheepfold. So he says, I'm the door, which would make it the third I am statement. And then he says, I am the good shepherd, fourth statement. So that's John 10. You go to John 11, and you have an event with a man named Lazarus. So what would Jesus be proclaiming in John chapter 11? He says, ego e me, I am the resurrection and the life. Now folks, all these are markers of the nature of Christ. And it's also defining why he came. He came to feed spiritually. He's the light of the world. He's the door by which you have to enter. He's the shepherd to the sheep. We are sheep. And we're all roaming around if we don't have a shepherd. Okay? He's the resurrection and the life, and reminds us that when we came to him by faith, he absolutely changed our lives. That was number five. Number six is John 14, 6, where Jesus says, ego e me, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So all of life, the way you want to live, the direction you want to head, looking up, I think about Paul writing later that says, I press towards the upward call. Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. So if you want to know the truth, and it'll set you free, Jesus said, you want to know him and you want to know this book. So, and then the last one, that's the sixth one. That's in John 14, 6. The last one is John 15, 1 and 2. I am, ego e me, I am the true vine. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman of the vine. And he talks about abiding, that you must abide in him. I want to read John chapter 10 because this is where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. By the way, there's a book. It's a good book, and if you ever get a chance to read it or buy it, it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. It's been out for many, many years. It's a great book. And so, obviously, because I was going to be in John chapter 10 for a couple of weeks, I've been going back and reading stuff. Obviously, I've preached through John's gospel several years ago. I mean, at some point, I've been in John 10 before. So there's a lot of things in my notes. So I've been reading about sheep. But let me just give you a couple of illustrations to kind of help you understand. When the Bible says Jesus is the good shepherd, what that's telling us about me and you, our nature, spiritually speaking. And it's not a positive thing, it's kind of negative, because sheep are just buffoons left to their own. I don't mean that to be ugly, but sheep left to their own will destroy their own self without somebody to guide them. And I think about how spiritual, or they'll follow just anything. They'll just get involved in things they ought, without a leader. So that's kind of the way. Here's one illustration, and these are true. Read this on anyway. So, and I've been to Israel, and there's still shepherds walking in front of sheep to this day. They lead the sheep, and then the sheep dogs in the back on the rear. Anyway, here's one. I was reading an article, true article, that a herd of sheep were left unattended just for some moments. I don't remember how long it was, 30 minutes. And they were near a cliff. And there was 1,100 sheep. And the article said that out of all 1,100 followed each other off the cliff. So if one does it, normally, if one does it, the rest of them do it. But the article said that out of the 1,100, only 300 died, because the first 300 cushioned the rest of them that would go off the... Interesting article. But it just tells you they just follow each other. Another article talked about how, and they do this a lot, they say that like when you're bringing them back into the fold or the gate. Bible days, you know, they'd have stones about waist high, a little bit higher, and they would bring them in. It wouldn't be a cover, but they'd bring them in and keep them in a fold. But a lot of times when the sheep would be walking in, stuff I was reading, they'll kind of play around with them, and they'll put a rope across the entrance. And so the first sheep coming in will jump over the, you know, it's 18 inches, so they'll jump over it. Or after the fourth or fifth sheep, they'll just move the rope or drop it to the ground. But every sheep coming into the fold will do what? Jump, no matter what. And so just tells you the nature, and that's, you think about the nature of man, and there's a reason why Jesus says he's the good shepherd. There's a good reason why the Bible talks a lot about lambs and sheep and how personal, the personal relationship, the intimacy that a shepherd has with his sheep. If you remember the first sacrifice, Cain and Abel, which is a marvelous study, but, you know, Cain slew Abel because God honored Abel's sacrifice, which was a lamb. And he didn't honor Cain's, because Cain just brought some corn that he'd grown, whatever, something from the garden. Well, think about the logic of that. God, you sow the seed and God does the rest of the work, then you just go and harvest, and there's a lamb that you know and you have a relationship with, and then you sacrifice that lamb. It's a personal sacrifice. So God accepted the sacrifice of the lamb, which was a picture, obviously, of what was going to happen 4,000 years later when Christ went to the cross. Amen. The Lamb of God was slain for us. Amen. The Passover, when we think about Christ being the Passover lamb, the first Passover, in Exodus 12, when God was going to, the last plague, the death of the firstborn, right? That was going to be the last plague that he warned the Pharaoh of Egypt. Hey, if you don't let my people go, Moses tell him, hey, God's going to kill your firstborn. But to save the Israelites, God said, take a lamb, cut its throat, and take the blood and put the blood around the door, over the door post, it's on the side of the door. And then what does God say to tell the people, Moses? Tell the people, I'm the death angel's coming through, but when the death angel sees the blood, what's the word? He will pass over. So by the blood, but before it happened, they were commanded to take the lamb into their house that they were going to sacrifice for 4 days. And that lamb ate with them, slept with them, they petted it, and it became a personal friend. But then they had to identify with that lamb and take its blood to be a covering for their own. And that's what Christ is, that Passover lamb. So David was a shepherd. You read all through the Old Testament, shepherds and sheep were a big deal. I think about when, now we're getting late into the book of, when after the Egyptian captivity, and I'm sorry, this is before that. This is where Israel, where Joseph is a prime minister basically in Egypt, and Jacob or Israel and all the other brothers, the sons of Israel, the other 11 tribes, not tribes yet, are starving to death. So they come to Egypt in the event where Joseph, they don't recognize him. And y'all read it. And so in Genesis, the end of Genesis, they meet and Joseph. But his people, when they come, he knows that his family, Jacob and all the sons, are sheep herders. They herd sheep. And And in Egypt, they hated whatever. They had a large distaste for sheep herders, for shepherds. And so Joseph says, don't tell them you herd sheep. Tell them you just have cattle. And so there's this whole story because it was not a well-respected. And even in Jesus' day, shepherds were an outcast because they never were qualified to go to the temple. Anyway, John chapter 10. All that's a little bit of history about sheep and shepherds. But I'm in John chapter 10. One more thing to think about. Here's what I want you to think. I've kind of got the cart before the horse, but I'm gonna back it up a little bit. Everybody needs a shepherd. Okay, so we all need shepherds. We all need Christ. Ultimately, Christ is a good shepherd. By the way, the word good, here's another thing. The word good shepherd, you don't think about this, but in the original language, the word good means beautiful. Like we get our English word calligraphy, beautiful writing. The kalos, it means beautiful. So when he says he's the good shepherd, some scholars translate it, he is the beautiful shepherd. And would you not agree? He's beautiful. You know, what he's done as the good shepherd for his sheep. It's a beautiful thing that he saves us from our sin. I was reading an article that back in December of 25, Australia, which is not known to be a hub of evangelicalism, Australia passed a law. It was called an online safety amendment. And I know in America they're talking about stuff like this, but this is what they decided. It became the law of the nation on December the 10th of 2025, and it's a social media ban. And for children that are under 16, it is against the law for those children to have an account on X or Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Reddit, Instagram, Facebook. They have one called Kick. I never heard of Kick. But there were 10 social media areas where these children right now in Australia, starting December the 10th of 25, it is against the law for a child to have an account on one of those social media outlets. Huh? Yeah, we're trying to do that here. Anyway, let me get to my point. But it is good. I was surprised because Australia is not like, when it comes to Christianity is not very popular in Australia. But that being said, so the article was talking about how it affected around 5 million children. And of course, it's more than that, but you're not talking about preschoolers. And you can't read. You cannot get on social media accounts. But here's what the government's having trouble with. They ran into this just 2 or 3 weeks into the ban. Guess who wants their children to be on? The parents. And so what they're finding is because the parents, they're doing it for two reasons. Now see, here's the government saying, listen, there's a lot of bad things they can see. They're vulnerable. They can be deceived. There's a lot of things can happen. And the government has said, we're going to shepherd our people and we're going to try to protect our children. But then the parents come behind, who should be happy to do it, won't do it because they want their kids on social media. And there's two reasons why. It says this. Number one, for their convenience. They want a babysitter, right? But you know what the second one was? Is they think having their face on social media will help their popularity. Well, folks, that's not a good shepherd. Am I right? And parents are to shepherd their children. Well, folks, we have a good shepherd. I may not be a good shepherd. You may not be a good shepherd, but I know the good shepherd. And that's what Jesus is talking about. We're all sheep of the fold. Psalm 100 tells us that. We need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. You need more than me. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter through the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way. That man is a thief and a robber. So just thinking about trying to lead sheep, and if somebody's trying to lead a group of people and it's not about Christ's lordship and it's not about submission to the lordship of Christ, if it becomes a little power play, that person's a thief and a robber. You find a lot of those on cable TV. There's a lot of thieves and robbers on cable TV. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. As I read, notice how many times he talks about hearing or what he says. That sheep hear, or the shepherd says, okay? To him, the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Speaking and leading, speaking and leading. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they, what? Know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. That's only because they know the voice of the shepherd. Now listen to me. We have a tendency not to know the voice of the shepherd. Like we don't know what the Bible says about things. And so if you're not hearing the voice of the shepherd, you have a tendency to follow the voice of strangers. And it's the wrong direction. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Which is interesting, because the Old Testament is full of this. That's not in the Scriptures, I'm saying that. Several passages just scathe the Old Testament leadership for the Jews and the priesthood, and some of the things they would do, he called them useless shepherds at times. I pray that that's not said, that Christ doesn't think that of me. You think about that, useless shepherds. By the way, you know that's connected, that when you get to Ephesians and Jesus ascended to heaven, 2,000 years ago Jesus ascended. And remember, he told the apostles, go tarry until you're endued with power from on high. Spirit comes, they end up going into the feast of Pentecost and publicly preach the gospel. And then as Jesus is ascended, the church is born. And then Paul tells us that it's the apostles and then it's pastor teachers that are going to lead the church. The word pastor is the exact same word as shepherd. So God, and it says God gives the church shepherds. So, because we need to be led. So it matters. And I'm not leading you. Ultimately, I'm hoping and praying and expecting that Christ is the one that's leading you, because that's who I'm teaching you about. So he says, verse 6, the figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand that what he was saying. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Now he's talking about, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He's not talking about the Old Testament prophets. He's talking about in the context of that first century. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You see that? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out, and he will find pasture. But you have to follow the shepherd that saved you, and you'll find the pasture, the fellowship, the abundant life, the Think about the 23rd Psalm. He leads me beside the still waters. Okay. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. I'm the beautiful shepherd. And the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, in Bible days, shepherds did lose their lives on occasion. But their responsibility and their job and their task, the expectation was, is that they're not going to die. It wasn't really that dangerous, but on occasion, vicious animals would attack and sometimes attack them. But our shepherd came to die. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And a good picture of that is what they tell us when you study the Bible and about, you know, when you had a fold of sheep, and they get them in a corral area at night, usually there was an opening where they would go in and out. And of course, what I've read and what they talk about is usually the shepherd would lay where he would sleep is in the doorway. And so he would be the door of the sheep. So you could not go in. One of the sheep could not go, or the lambs could not go in and out unless they passed through him. So it's a great, great little word picture. He lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep. See that? He does not own the sheep. The hired man does not own the sheep. The implication there is that Christ, as the shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the eternal shepherd, owns us. We're his sheep. That's what the Bible says all through the Old Testament. We're his sheep. So he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. You can read articles about how a wolf or some predator can get in amongst a flock of sheep and can kill hundreds of them. But some of them die because they trample over each other. You know, it's just they lose their minds because they always need somebody to lead. Snatches, by the way, if you're a Bible scholar, that word snatch, which appears two more times here in John 10, is the word where we get the word rapture. When you say we believe in a rapture, the pre-trib rapture of the church, that comes from this Greek word. It's called harpazo, but it gives you an idea of what the word means, to snatch away, right? He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And folks, that should be true of pastors. You know, like if something happens and somebody's teaching something false in our church or that kind of thing, and you as the shepherd, and Robbie and as the under-shepherds are shepherding with me, it's explosive in our minds and hearts, and we want to protect you from that. So the good shepherd says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Are you looking at your Bibles? My own know me. The first time that word know is used in the New Testament. You ready? You want to know what the word know means? First time in the New Testament. And it says the first time Joseph did not know his wife until after Jesus was born. So you know the word know is an intimate word. Okay. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And then he says, my own should know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's how we ought to know each other. And I have other sheep. Here's a worldwide gospel. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. That's how they're going to be saved. You with me? Look at the verse. This is how people are saved. Exactly what Romans 1 says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the voice or the Word of God. That's how people. And Jesus is emphasizing that. And I have other sheep outside of the Jewish nation that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. I must bring them. Who's in control of salvation? You or God? God is. It's a sovereign thing. He knows. So he says, I must bring them. And then in our experience, the sheep that are his sheep, in time and space, guess what happens? We see them believe. Okay? But he knows he's picked them. So it says, you know, I know that my sheep know my voice. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock but one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from the Father. It says that again. But look down at verse, just a couple other verses. He says, you know, some of them get defensive, and he says in verse 26, but you do not believe. Verse 26, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. And let me just tell you, for people that have, if you are involved in church life, or let's just say religion, church life, and it's not making any sense. It's like hitting a wall and dripping down. It means nothing. I can tell you what Jesus is saying. Well, it's because you're not my sheep. So if you're here and you don't grasp this, the Bible's promised that you can grasp it in Christ because he gives you his own spirit. My sheep, again, he says in verse 27, I think it's six times he says this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. If you get saved today, it's not going to be a surprise to Jesus. He knows. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let me talk to you just a little bit, since I'm going to be in this couple more weeks. I want you to listen to what the Bible says about Jesus being our good shepherd. I wrote some of these things down. Let's listen to this as of course, my first thought in John is to think about those seven statements of who he is. But listen to what he's done as our good shepherd, that in him, here's some of the things the Bible says about us being in him as the good shepherd. We're rooted and we're built up in him. He's the good shepherd. We're built up in him. Colossians 2 says we're filled in him. We're filled with truth. We're filled in him. In him we have eternal life, John 3. In him we are no longer condemned. Amen? In him we have redemption through his blood. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In him we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him we have obtained an inheritance by faith. It's his inheritance. In him we're being built together for a dwelling place of God by the Holy Spirit. In him we are being built together as a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. In him, in Christ, in the Good Shepherd, we have boldness and we have confidence. In him we are taught the truth. In Him we've been justified. In Him we've been already glorified. In Him we are seated in the heavenlies. Jesus Christ is that good shepherd. Now, folks, let me just tell you a couple of things. I'm going to close. I'm going to finish a little early. Let's think about, let's just say a shepherd, Jesus, a good shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd. He leads, right? A good shepherd will lead. And the Old Testament talks a lot about this, that the false shepherds in the Old Testament, the false prophets, pseudo-prophets, live for their own satisfaction. If you want to read something interesting, go to Ezekiel 34. The whole chapter is about these fake shepherds. But Jesus came to lay down His life for His sheep. And so He leads. And in the Old Testament, fake ones would not lead. They would just go out on their own. They were shepherds for their own pleasure. So Jesus leads. And then if you're looking at a good shepherd, if you study being a shepherd and all that, so a shepherd leads. A shepherd comforts. And David said that in Psalm 23. And a shepherd restores. So that's where, like, so one of the jobs of a shepherd is to restore his sheep. And, you know, Jesus gave the parable, if a shepherd has 100 sheep, 100, he has 99% attendance, but one's not present. What will the shepherd do? What will he do? That's what Jesus does. So he goes, and so if you're here today and you're saved, but you're not, you're in the fold, but you're not living for Christ, he's going to be calling you to come back to the fellowship of the fold, right? So that's what he does. So the three things the shepherd would do, and there's many more, but I'm just ballparking. Lead, he comforts, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? The presence of the shepherd. So he leads, he comforts, and then he restores. Well, let's think about him leading real quick. And we're going to pick back up on this next week. But Jesus is the good shepherd. We know this from reading John 10. How does he lead us? We've already discovered two of them right here. Christ leads us. And folks, this is how it is for 2,000 years. Even for the apostles who had the privilege of walking with him for 3 years in ministry. This is true for them. This is how Christ led them. He leads us. The first way he leads us is by his word. Am I right? In there in John 10? This is why Jesus told this parable. This is why Jesus instructed them. This is why John, later in his life, was led of the Lord to write a gospel that was different from the other three. And he reminds us this is what Jesus said. He leads by, he says, my sheep hear my voice. We're talking about in Sunday school this morning, and we're studying a little prophecy in my class. And so you just open up the Bible, and I just can't. I was telling them again. This is just a, you know, it's not a great class. It's just, you know, I just study, and I just can't wait to get in there and show them what God is saying. You know, and I can't wait on Sunday mornings to get in here and try to communicate with you how great God's word is. So He leads us. And that's what our job is. I'm supposed to equip you in the Word. Okay, so I have a leadership responsibility. Yeah, I do. I'm a shepherd. What the Bible says, I'm the shepherd. But my goal is not for you to follow me. It's for you to know the voice of the shepherd. So that's why the Word's so important. So He leads by His Word, right? I'm not going to finish early. Sorry about that. So He leads by His Word, but another way they lead is by the walk. Now, when we do the Lord's Supper, we remember the Lord's death, you know, His physical, we eat the bread, this is my body. We talk about the humanity of Christ. He leads us because He walked before us. You with me? All the issues of life, He has answers for because God became a man, you know. We celebrate the incarnation at Christmas, and God became a man. And so He walked, and so He leads His sheep. It's not ambiguous. He came into this world, and the first thing He did when He entered the ministry, at the baptism, 30 years he didn't publicly announce he was the Messiah. But at baptism, he comes up, and now he's in the ministry. He's going to present himself as the Messiah, and the first thing he does is goes out and defeats Satan. He's the new Adam. He's the last Adam. First Adam failed. He's the last Adam, and he goes out and he defeats the devil. So he's walked. And you can study, read it for yourself, but sheep know how their shepherd would speak, but they also know how he walks, his gait. They'll follow the shepherd when they see him walking because they know how the shepherd walks. And so, folks, you should know when people are walking in fellowship with Christ. You should be able to recognize Christians who are walking like Jesus walked. You should, so they could tell by the walk. So, word, walk, W's, so I remember it. And the third one is the wisdom. And in the minds of the sheep, all they trusted was that the shepherd knew. No matter the situation, they knew. They knew the shepherd knew. So that's why they followed him. So, you know, he would plan his day in the fields, green fields, whatever the shepherd planted, because he knew the wisdom. So our Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and he leads us by his word, by his walk, and by the wisdom that we find in the scriptures. And folks, the sheep gather together. God commands that his sheep get together at certain times during the week so we can leave the fold of the sheep and we can go serve him out there. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the voice of strangers, they will not follow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of the work of Christ. Thank you that we have this word picture of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that honestly, spiritually, as we think about our spiritual pilgrimage, that it is by necessity, as his sheep, we are commanded to listen to the voice of our shepherd, and we follow him. Lord, we trust you. We're helpless without you. Father, help us not to be wandering sheep. Help us to be sheep that are committed to the sheepfold. We love you and thank you for the church. In Jesus' name, amen.